let's discuss the Haggadah. Let me share with you a few. Some Ve'arlach will be a little shorter, some a little longer, some shorter ideas, some longer ideas. Let's start with the Vav that I say over every single year. I enjoy this very, very much from Arbelsky. Arbelsky, he says, there's a mistake in every Haggadah. I told this to you every year, but I proudly. There's a mistake in every Haggadah.
Rabbi,
yes.
I saw it, rest love Haggadah.
Yeah. Rav Nachman, there's a Haggadah on everything. The first, no, can't be. Breslov, the first year, impossible. We print now. Everyone has a Haggadah. Haggadah is a way to it's a tool that we have. Everyone uses to bring out the chidushim, like a synopsis of all of the chidushim of Gedolei Yisrael. Even Rav Shimon Schwab, this they put out. The Mayan based Hashoeva Haggadah. It's just a likut. It's a likut of from Mayan based Hashoeva. Everyone does this.
Even the Abar Manel,
Haggadah.
In his Chumash Perush, he references sometimes, as you've seen in my Zevach Pesach.
Sometimes they did it, and sometimes it was done later on. There are thousands of Haggadahs. Okay, Rabbi Sai, okay, Rabbi Sai, let's begin. Okay, first thing over here is, just this is important, you start something to think about. Question is, Holach Ma'anyu. In almost every single Haggadah, it says Magid. Wait a minute, what this Haggadah, Taka says, I'm getting confused over here. Oh, wow, this is unique. In this Haggadah, it puts Magid. No, those are wrong, according to Arbelsky. In every single Haggadah, it puts Magid right before Manishtana. Okay, right before Halach Mayim, I'm sorry, right. Magid is the simonim have been injected to all of the modern-day Haggadahs. Kadesh, Urchas, Karpas, Yachatz, Magid, Rochsas. Magid is always put right before we recite Halach Mayim. That means, where does Yachatz end? It makes noise to that. Where does Yachatz end? Yachatz ends. What do you do, Yachatz? First, let's say Kaddish, Mekiddish, Orchatz. You wash your hands, Karpas. You dip the potato or your vegetable into the salt water, and then what do? Yachatz. What's Yachatz? You just break the matzah. You break the matzah. You do a ma'isa. Think about it. Everything else until now. Urchatz, you didn't make a bracha. Kaddish, you said kiddush. Urchatz is you don't make the bracha. That's the kiddush. Isn't that interesting? Urchatz is something that you do, but you bedaf, go out of your way. You out of your way not to make a bracha. Then comes karpas. You make a bracha. Bori pri adama. Then comes yachatz. Yachatz, and all of the simonim is the most boring. You do nothing. You take a matzah and you break the matzah in two parts, and the larger part you put away for later, and the smaller part you put back on the table. And there is nothing, there is no dibur, there are no words that accompany the action of breaking the matzah. At least orchatz, when you wash your hands, you should be making a bracha. And in fact, in the time of Chazal, they did make a bracha. They did make a bracha because they made a tilas yadayim before you dip. Whenever you dip a food in a dip, it says in Shulchan Aruch you're supposed to wash Netilas Yodayim and make Asheri Kiddushan B'mitzvah Sivanu Al Netilas Yodayim. So when we do Orchatz, may Ikar HaDin, we should be reciting an Al Netilas Yodayim. But we don't, because it's not our custom. Kadesh Tishal Tinoikos, there are many reasons why we don't, but really we should. So it really is something, and in fact, maybe it seems that they talk in the ancient times, they did do it. They actually did do it. So therefore, even the Orchatz was accompanied with a dibur, with a bracha. And you go through the whole Haggadah, everything that you do in the Haggadah, you always pesach. Your mouth is always speaking. You're always speaking. The only thing that you're doing in the entire Haggadah, only one of the 15 simon that you're doing that does not involve any dibur whatsoever is Yachatz. What about tzafon? Tzafon, at least you're eating tzafon. You also, you're not doing tzafon. Tzafon, when you eat afikomen, no, that's not cool. Tzafon, you're eating. At least, but eating is a much more significant thing. When you're eating something, you're not actually making a bracha when you do tzafon. I take it back. That's not the point of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi basically says there's a mistake here. The mistake is that in the ancient Olam Gadol, they did not have the word. They did not have the word. The simonim injected into the Haggadah. The simonim have been added to the Haggadah much, much more recently by printers, and the printers should have put Magid right before Manishtana, like what it says in the Mishnah. Kan Habein Shoyel. It's the beginning of the Magid. The child asks the question, and then we give the response. Who in the world put Magid before Holach Magid? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. And in fact, the MS is, this is a tremendous Chish Mabelski. Holach Ma'anya was meant to be the recital for Yachatz. Tremendous Chish. What do you do? Yeah, I pick up the Yachatz, the Matzah, and I break the Matzah into two pieces. I now make the matzah into lechem ani. What do I say? Ha! I make it into lechem ani. It is what I mean. I break it. Mi darka beprusa and ani. You break the matzah, and then what do you say in frustration? It's the same old piece of bread like last year. Nothing has changed. Last year we concluded l'shana haba b'Yerushalayim. A whole year went by, business as usual. You come to the Haggadah, you come to the Seder, we begin the Seder, look at that, nothing changed. Last year we were here in America, this year in America, you pick up the bread, and you break the bread into two pieces, and you recite upon the broken pieces of bread, Ha Lachma Anya, it's the same old bread, Di Acholu Avosana B'Ara De Mitzrayim, Kol Dichvin, and you invite the guests, Hashata Hachanu. These words correspond to last year.
Right.
Hasha Tohacha. We're still here. Nothing changed from last year. It's Lashana. Maybe by next year we'll be more fortunate. Lashana Babi Arad Yisro. Lashata. Avdi Lashana Babi Nechar. Interesting idea.
Rabbi Delamude Nisan says it was Echel Chorban
Yachar. Yach. It's a different idea. It's a different idea.
But he says it's similar.
Okay, so this, keep that in mind, that this is an idea from Belsky, that all of the Haggadahs in the modern, he claims that there's no such Haggadah from ancient times that had Magid before Holach Ma'anya. This is an innovation that started with a printer who didn't know what he was doing, and everyone chapped onto it, everyone followed in that way. The blind is leading the blind. And it should be deleted, it should be put before Ma'anishtana. However, I once told this over to someone, so he said to me, everyone knows this is Rabbi Belsky's Vart, everyone's, so it's very, very famous, this Vart, and people have done a lot of research because of this Vart, and they've shown that it's not so simple. they do have ancient Haggadahs that seem to indicate that Magid begins with Holach Magid. So, listen, it's a very interesting idea. My father, the Zichron Levrach, he loved this Vart. This is his favorite Vart, he loved this Vart, is that this is the Amira of Yachatz. You break it, and as you break it, you say Holach Ma'anya, and it's nothing to do with Magid. Magid begins. Pashtus is with Manishtan. Okay, let's go to another idea. Another idea. This is a very short idea. When you go to a wedding, how many cups of wine must the caterer have available for the ceremony? Four.
He has to have cases.
How many cups of wine must the caterer have available for the ceremony? Four. You need a cup of wine under the chuppah for borei, for birchas erisin, and then there's a separate cup of wine for birchas nisuin, and then when the wedding is over, towards the end of the wedding, you have to bench, you have to recite sheva brachas. How many cups of wine do you need for the sheva brachas? Two cups. A borei pri agafen, and you have for the sheva brachas. So the caterer, a good caterer, knows he better have at least for the ceremony, forget about for the guests. If they're not paying for that, then the guest's not going to have wine, but you need four cups of wine for every marriage ceremony. So I saw that said, Ranu Liyakov, by Rav Yaakov Weiss, he says, that is why Chazal, we're misaking Dalit, we should drink a little Seder, four cups of wine. Because there are so many numerous sources in Chazal which tell us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, in essence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was marrying Klal Yisrael. It represents the marriage of Hashem to Klal Yisrael. What do we do when the Seder is over? We recite Shir HaShirim. What is Shir HaShirim? What?
When we were in Mitzrayim, Hashem wasn't married to us yet?
No, we're not.
What was the relationship?
It was an engagement.
Absolutely. The Cheres is getting married.
The Chavis is getting married. Okay, that's where the Avdus first starts. The marriage, so what do we recite when we finish the Haggadah? What do we recite? Shir HaShirim. What is Shir HaShirim? It's all about, it's a metaphor describing the relationship between a man and a woman. Hashem and that's a mashal for Hashem and Klal Yisrael. So Hashem and Klal Yisrael, so therefore it's a marriage. In essence, it's a marriage. In a marriage, you need 4 cups of wine. In order to bang upon our heads that we are married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we have obligations to him. And he has obligations to us. Chazal, he fashioned the Seder against the backdrop of 4 cups of wine, just like every single wedding. What's so funny is that you ask the average person today, how many cups of wine are they by a wedding? I don't know, 2? We don't realize that it's a total of 4. Because you have the ceremony, the erisin and the nisuin, and then you have the birchas hamazon. When you get married, you have to have a sudas mitzvah
but
immediately.
That should also be on Shavuos. Okay. Shavuos was the nisuin.
There are different elements. There are different acids. It's another in Achnami. But just we're starting the process. In Achnami, there are many different ways to look at it. Ayin panim l'tara. But certainly the process has begun. Certainly the fact that we recite Shir HaShirim certainly enhances this idea that we see we're getting involved in a relationship that's equivalent to a man and a woman, and the marriage is 4 cups of wine. Male, we have 4 cups of wine. Okay, another short idea. Shefei Chamascha. What do we do when we recite Shefei Chamascha? We open up the door, we go outside, and we say Kiddush Levana. No, just joking. You go outside for Shefei Chamascha. Now, everyone knows, before everyone shoots me down, okay, everyone knows the main reason why we open up the door before we say Shefei Chamascha, and this is the Pshuta Shel Mikra, is because of blood libels. This is the most common thing that said all the Mefarshim, is because Rachmana Litzlan, we're dealing over here with, we had a terrible problem throughout the Dorais, and there was always a suspicion that a guy would kill a non-Jewish child and would plant a non-Jewish child somewhere in the neighborhood and claim that the Jews took the blood of a non-Jewish child to bake matzos. It was a very Lel Pesach. It was supposed to be a Lel Shimurim. Unfortunately, throughout the ages, turned into a very big problem where there were blood libels, and all the blood libels took place on the night of Pesach in this instance. So therefore, it became the custom. It became the custom that people they went on shmira. The people had to continuously get watch. Rabbi Sai, can I please, Rabbi Sai, can I please ask everyone for some decorum, please? So it became the minhag Yisrael that in order that there should not be a problem, the people were continuously watching their back. That is how it came about, the minhag to open your door in the middle of the seder to make sure the goyim are not outside. They'll see doors are continuously being opened and closed. They'll get scared. They're not going to go and try to kill someone and make believe that we killed them. Make this nonsense that there is a blood libel. Okay, that is, we don't open the door for Lachmanya.
Why not?
Because that we don't. I don't know. We don't. That's not for now. I don't know. We don't. So the question that is the pshutoi shel mikra, the simple reason why we do this. However, Mefarshim have given many, many other reasons, significance as to why the door is open for Shvei Chamascha. And there's one very similar idea which is very relevant, and that is when you say Shvei Chamascha, there are many people who are very disturbed. We're not a violent nation. Klal Yisrael is not in the business of obliterating, of taking revenge, and looking that other people should suffer. That's not our nature. The whole idea of reciting Lil the Haggadah Shifoi Chamosch El Hagoy Mashalo Yiduch of Yal Mamlochoy Shalo Asherlo Shimchalai Karahu, and then we go on and we say even more violent things, they should be obliterated. It's not our nature. Leave this to Hashem. Hashem is Noikeim Nikmas Yisrael. It's not our nature to express themes of violence, especially during such a pleasant, peaceful meal of Lil Seder. It's disturbing. Obviously, Chazal knew what they were doing, and they said, no, it's not disturbing. You have to know, you have to have the right balance. You know, don't be pushovers. Well, the first thing, I was reading a book on Chinuch, and a substitute, he wrote in, He wrote into the panel of Mechanchim what as a substitute. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a full. I'm hired every day as a sub. So for the Mechanich said, first I have to tell you there's 614th mitzvah in the Torah called kill the sub. You should be aware of that. And when you come into a classroom, the most important thing you do is not teach, because you're only a sub. And the kids are going to have no respect for you anyway. You come into a rough class, they're not interested in learning, you're a sub. The most important thing that we, the school, want from a sub is to control the class. It's all we want. We don't expect you to do anything more than that. Control the class. They should not be running in the halls and running around. There should be discipline. And if they see in the first 5 minutes that you're a pushover, then you're finished. And that's the truth. This is for a new teacher as well. He gives advice in the beginning of the year, the first couple of days, to be extremely tough and mean. And then you loosen up. But you have to start off being tough. Klal Yisrael, you know, it's a very interesting idea that it really struck when it comes to the Haggadah. Klal Yisrael, this is the formation of Klal Yisrael. This is Klal Yisrael. But you have to send a message to the Umos HaOlam, watch out. Just because we're such a good people, and we have to L'Rechel Kameicha, and we're so kind, we're so good, we're so gracious, we're not going to forgive you if you make trouble for us. You have to set the tone to the Umos HaOlam. It's a very powerful idea, psychology, how a teacher addresses himself to his students on the first day. On the first day, the end of the year, oh, you're hugging everyone, you're kissing everyone, and you're so kind, you're so good, and we love you, and this and that. It's so mushy at the end of the year. But if you start out mushy in the first day of class, guess what? Then you won't make it. You won't make it to Hanukkah. You won't be a class. You'll be finished. It's very true. I know the best teachers that I have looking back, they started out very tough. And they loosen up, and it's a lot of talent. This is how they train. This appears. That's how they're real people, mechanchim, who train. There's a lot to be said about going for training. You just don't walk into a classroom and teach. You have to be professionally trained. And one of the very important techniques that are used to professionally train new teachers is you start out very, very tough, with an iron fist, and you loosen up, and then you're supposed to loosen up. That's all part of the training. That's really what we're doing Pesach with Lel Seder. Lel Seder is the beginning. It is a new class. It's a Klal Yisrael has been formed. You come to Shvach Hamosch, it's very important. Don't let the Umos HaOlam think that Klal Yisrael were a bunch of pushovers. You can step on our feet. We're very kind. We're the Orla Amin. We'll bend backwards to help anyone that needs help. Look at Israel, State of Israel. They're the first ones to respond to any emergency throughout the world. They send their best people all over the world. Anytime there's a need, it's the nature of a Jew to want to do chesed. To anyone that is the Tzelem Elokim, it's the nature of Klal Yisrael to do something. But it doesn't give you a license to step all over us. And the Meila, it's very critical that we recite on Lel Pesach a very violent kina. It's a kina, they say it's called like Tisha, it's called the kina of Shefei Chamas. Now, let's go a step further. Why open the door? So the answer is, this is one of many, many answers, because the door has the mezuzah. There's a mezuzah on the door. You're really not going opening the door. What you're really doing is, it's not really opening the door. You're going to the mezuzah. It just so happens the only way you can get to the mezuzah is to open the door. Because the mezuzah is supposed to be put on the outside of the door. So we think opening up the door. That's not what we're really doing. You're going to the mezuzah. Why you want to go to the mezuzah? Because what is the mezuzah? It provides protection. When you are mispalo to Hashem that he should destroy people, you need to protect yourself first. Because who says you're better than them? You, if you're going to war, the first thing you do when a nation goes to war is they make sure that the defense of the country is in order. You don't go on the offensive until the defense is in place. So, and especially we're going to be mekatrik on the Umos HaOlam that they're no good. Maybe we're no good, and if we're no good, it's going to boomerang against us. Our approach to our tefillah. Therefore, it is critical to seek shelter in the protection of Hashem before we embark on this mission that Chazal have told us to be mispalel, that Hashem should punish the Umos HaOlam for their not being loyal and faithful to Hashem and for what they've done to us. Because we have to look in the mirror. Have we been faithful to Hashem? Are we good to each other? Who says we're any better? And then the Hashem's wrath will not only come upon them, will come upon us also. So therefore, we have to seek shelter under the mezuzah of the bais.
If we don't go, everybody physically then has to go to the door. Most people don't walk literally to the door, they're safe, right?
Maybe the Rosh Hashanah, it's like everything else, There's a way to do it the ideal way, and there's, you rely upon the Rosh Hashanah. If the minig is to open the door and to go out, to go outside, everyone should do it. You're going to say, it's cold, I'm not feeling well, I'm dizzy, too much wine, I'll sit in the house, you open the door. Okay, so I'm relying upon the Rosh Hashanah. He's leading Seder, he's doing it, and that counts for me. There are many different ways to do every single mitzvah. You can do it the ideal way. You can rely upon someone else. Maybe you'll tell me that if that's not the correct minhag. The correct minhag is that only the Rosh Habayis opens the door. Everyone else is at home. Okay, I don't know. This is an idea. Okay, it's an idea why you're opening the door. It's not the door. It's the mezuzah. Why in the mezuzah? The mezuzah is there to guard, to provide shemira. You bedafka need shmira when you're coming to bring forth accusation against your enemy. Because who says we are any better but any deserving? Maybe we're not deserving anymore. And therefore we need to protect ourselves from the consequences of what we're about to do. We have no choice. We have to do this. Chazal told us you must do this. This is the nusach of the Haggadah. But we still need shmira. Let's go to the next idea. Yeah?
You mentioned before about the blood libel. Also connected to the concept that Easter many times coincided with Pesach, and it was a
dangerous time.
Dangerous.
The dangerous time. That's the story of Klal Yisrael. The Sakana. Let's go to another idea. Mora. So I saw this. I believe in the new Haggadah of Rav Shimon Schwab. Ayin Beis HaShoeva. He says something very, very interesting. Well, no, I take that back. I apologize to you. It's not from Shimon Schwab. It's from my friend. My friend's Haggadah. Morar. He says, Matzois Umirorim Yochlu. And my friend, he points, it's not his body. He's quoting from someone that the word Umirorim is not the correct word. The word Umirorim, according to the rules of grammar, is Hifil, which means to cause someone else bitterness. We always assume that Morar, what? We were bitter. We're eating Morar, Al Matzois Umirorim. We think we were bitter. We suffered. We were slaves. We suffered terrible suffering. And that's why we eat Morar. But that's not really what it says. It really says is that the Egyptians caused bitterness upon us. They didn't make Vayimaru es chaye avoy sehem. They made bitter the lives of their forefathers. Let me read the words of Rabbi Shimon. Call me shoy amar shloisha dvarma elu lo yatsi dechavah. Say Pesach Matzah Morar. Let me just turn to the page. Here it is. Pesach Matzah Morar. Morar zesh anu echlim al shum ma al shum shemeriru. That's the key word. Hamitzrim es chaye avoy sehem. They caused the lives of our forefathers to be bitter b'mitzrayim. Shenema, vayimoruru es chayehem. The Egyptians embittered their lives. It doesn't say embittered. That's exactly the point. Embittered would be good. What did the Egyptians do to our forefathers? They made them bitter. They didn't cause them to be bitter. They made them bitter. They go out into the field and go work and go slave away. And if you don't bring enough bricks, you don't bring enough straw, we'll whip you. They didn't cause them to become bitter. They directly made them bitter. They made them bitter.
That's to embitter.
Yeah. But it doesn't say that. This is how you translated it. But that's not the correct translation. The correct translation is they caused them. See, they also, the article also says they embittered.
That's the meaning of to cause them to become bitter.
So my friend here is suggesting that's incorrect. That is a very loose translation. That's the way the world translates it. But according to the rules of grammar, that's not what it means. It doesn't mean that they embittered their lives. It means they caused their lives to be bitter.
What's the difference?
What's the difference? So the difference is it's a little bit indirect. It's indirect. It's not, so you can say, by giving me a harder job, so now you're causing me to be bitter.
Also, they used to give them women's work to do also.
So right, you're giving me a different job. By giving me a different task, you're causing me psychologically to become bitter. So it's all the same, right? You're saying, I think it's not the same. Now, I want to tell you now, it's not exactly what it says here, but it's really rooted in his words. And I think what he means to say is as follows. They did to the Jewish people, the Egyptians, a lot of very terrible things. They made them slaves, they killed their children. But all of the things they did, when we read the Haggadah on a very simplistic level, are all physical, it's physical harm. They deprived us from sleep. They psychologically abused us. They took away our hope. They did things to us physically. What about spiritually? Did it ever bother the Jewish people that you know where we come from? We come from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And the path that we're taking now, that we're going down now, there's not going to be any more. There's going to be no Jews. Chazal sunk. They sunk already, they sunk to the 49th level of Tumah. Had they remained there only one more day, it would have been too little too late. They would have sunk to the 50th level of Tumah. Did it ever bother the Jewish people, the people realizing that, you know that in 10 years from now, Orthodox Jewry will be extinct? That was the trajectory of Klal Yisrael. They were there for 210 years. When they got to year 150, in all the newspapers it says that these people who have come to Ashram Canaan, there may be many millions of them living here in Egypt, but guess what? By another 50, 60 years, they're going to assimilate their values, their traditions, their morals that they brought with them from Canaan are eroding to the point where their spirituality that they brought with them from Canaan, from the legacy of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, will cease to exist by the end of this generation. Certainly, that's what it said in all the newspapers.
Did that include the Shevet Levi?
Yeah, maybe. Shevet Levi, how long could they hold up when everyone else is sinking? The Titanic is going down. How long? How long can you last? How long will they last? Did that ever bother the people in Egypt? We know they were bothered because they murdered their children. We know they cursed out Moshe because look now, we have to go get the straw. We know how much physical pain they had. But did it bother them, the spiritual erosion?
They had Lashina Shvam, Lashina Mabushim.
But how long could that last? It was weakening. It was weakening. Chazal say it was weakening. Chazal say that's why they had to leave by 200. They had to leave 210 years. They had to leave early, not 400 years, because had they stayed there for one more moment, they would have sunk to such a spiritual low, they would not be able to recover. It was eroding.
Ish mitzri.
So our friend, I'm reading between the lines, is saying is that's the real bitterness of life. The real bitterness of life is not physical pain. That's very bitter. No question about it. That's bitter, bitter, bitter. But there's even a greater bitterness when a person sees that his children and grandchildren are not going to be from. When a person realizes that he's in a culture where the way things stand, in another generation, children, like talk about people who came to America in before the 20th century, they have all these stories. They say, my children, there's no way. I'm from, I know what it's like. I saw what it used to be like in Europe. But my children, they don't have a chance. There's no chinuch here. There's nothing here. All that's here is the American dollar. There's nothing here.
In Europe, they were told not to come to America.
The treif in Medina. In America, even the stones are treif, they would say. Everything is treif. What's going to be over here? What's going to be over here? That is the real bitterness of life. To see the spiritual decline of Klal Yisrael. So here's what my friend basically is saying over here. Here they were in Egypt. And they were physically suffering. They were being tortured. It didn't really bother them, the people. Yeah, so they tortured me, so new, I worked a little bit harder, new, I break my back, all right. But you know what bothers me? I'm going to be from no matter what, because I saw Yaakov, I saw Yosef, I saw the Shvatim, I saw Yaakov, I saw the children. I'm solid. I saw already, I'm closer to Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov and the Shiftei Kah. I'm not going off the derech. But my children don't have a fighting chance. Because they're already the next generation, my grandchildren, they don't have a chance. There's no chance for them. In Skadnu Hadaros. So, and the Egyptian society is not making it easier. They're not allowing, until now, there was freedom of religion. We had yeshivas, but the kinesios, but the midrashos. The Egyptians shut down the but the kinesios, but the midrashos. So my children can't study Torah. Me? No, I can't go to shul, so I'll learn my daf yomi in the house. I already am solid. But it says here that the Egyptians caused the parents to become bitter when they saw what they were doing to the children. The avoid kosher means avoid in the Megillah, in the Haggadah always means avoid carbon pesach. I mean this, it means it's kosher. It's no longer avoid the Hashem. They went, or you have to, the correct nuance, avoid kosher. They made, when the parents saw what the Egyptian society was doing to their children, that made the parents bitter. It caused the way the Egyptian society treated the children, that caused the parents and the grandparents and the great-grandparents terrible bitterness. You know, it could very well be that the parents, the grandparents, they had a pension. They were exempt from labor. You're too old to work. It's a wonderful society. Go to a retirement home. We'll feed you. No torture for you. But the children were set in a certain way. They were forced to behave a certain way and do a certain thing. And the grandparents and the parents saw where the children were heading. What direction? This caused terrible bitterness to the fathers. It's meduik in the words of the Haggadah. Moror zeh shanoach mal shoma. What? Because we worked hard. No. It's not because we worked hard. It's not because of the slave labor. You know why? Al shom, it's because shemeru hamitzrim, the Egyptians caused to become bitter, es chayei avoseinu b'mitzrayim, it means the lives of the fathers of the children. And it proves it. Shenemar, read the pasuk, vayimaru es chayehem, these are the children. Why do we divide up chayei avoseinu with chayehem? Let it just say al shom shemaru hamitzrim es chayehem. Why do we emphasize the chayei avoseinu? Mr. Glad, are you going for Yom Tov?
No.
Okay, I don't want to say goodbye before Yom Tov. I don't want to scare me over here. Es chayei avoseinu b'mitzrayim. So I'm trying to suggest to my friend there was indirect pain. And the indirect pain is the spiritual pain. And the way you give someone spiritual pain is by brainwashing their children not to go b'derech Hashem. And that's really what it means over here in the Haggadah of Vayimeru. They caused the parents to have tzar by torturing the children so that they would not be able to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. And you take a see from history, when people came to America, before there was a yeshiva in America of Torah v'Avodah, this was the greatest tsar the parents had. Not the poverty, not persecution, not anti-Semitism. It's to see that their children are not going, they don't have a fighting chance to go al derech Hashem, and what's going to be with the next generation. What? 80%. Okay, next part, next quick idea. Dayenu. Dayenu, right? Everyone sings the Dayenu, and then you come to the very end. There's, after you go through all the Dayenus, how many Dayenus are there? I forgot already. How many Dayenus are there? Whatever there are. Alachas, Kama, V'kama, we repeat the ganze spiel all over again. After you say Dayenu all these times, you nochamo. Alachas, Kama, V'kama, Toy, V'chulim, V'chazalenu, Shoyitim, V'mitzrayim, V'yosol, V'chem, V'shefotim, V'yosol, V'elohim, V'chalagim, you go through the ganze zach all over again. Why? Why the repetition, the verbosity? You already said each one alone. Why do you have to? The answer is obvious, because there's the sum is greater than the parts. We discussed this last year, but I have a whole different var for you this year. The sum is greater than the parts. What do we add in the summary that does not appear in the specific details? The last expression, lechaper al kol avoy noisenu. Right, after we go through vodoloy bespes abachira, after we go through all the items, we add these words, lechaper al kol avoy noisenu, which teaches us is that the sum, we go through each item that Hashem has done for us, and we say to Hashem, oh, dayenu, Hashem, thank you so much. And then when we look at the big picture, the combination allows us to a new dimension of mechilas avoinus. And the question is, why is mechilas avoinus the sum or the greater sum of the parts? What is it about mechilas avoinus that brings everything together? So the answer is very simple. Who was the shliach who took us out of Mitzrayim? Moshe Rabbeinu. It's all about Moshe Rabbeinu. In fact, Moshe's name is not mentioned. That really proves it's all about him. No, he's the elephant in the room. Moshe Rabbeinu. The whole Haggadah is about Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu was selected to be the leader, Hashem right away after the first interview, and he's ready on the first day on the job, Hashem says, "I made a mistake. I hired the wrong guy." Vo'ere gesundheit el Avraham el Yitzchak v'el Yaakov bekel Shakai. Ushmi Hashem lo nedati lohem. You Moshe Rabbeinu, I hire you on the first day. You say to me, "What's your name? What should I tell them when they ask me what's your name?" Va'omar Moshmi mo'omar lohem. So I told you, tell them Ekasher Eke v'chulu v'chulu. Then Hashem says Chaval. Rashi, the first Rashi in Parash Vayera. Oy, Gval, what do I got here? Who is this rookie? I got a rookie on the job here. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they didn't need to know my name. They needed to know Yudke Vavke, Eke Asher Eke. They were satisfied with Mistapek Bimuat. Them, I said, Shakai. They only knew from Shakai. They did not know the need of MS. Yudke Vavke, we're not getting into all this. What this means, Rashi, Yudke Vavke, the need of MS, Shashmini Karti Boy, that I'm faithful to fulfill my promises. They were happy with Shakai. What is Shakai? What is the name Shakai? So we discussed this many times. Basically, it means Dai. Sh'omar le'oilamoy Dai. Dai means it's enough. Hashem appeared to Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and Hashem said, do me this toivu. Go to Eretz Yisrael. Go to the Akedah. Go to Lavan. Do a mitzvah. Hashem, whatever you want, die. I don't have any big hasagas. I don't need this. I don't need that. I'm not looking to figure out what's going to be in the future, where we're going. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov were mistapek b'muat. They had emunah peshuta in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Emunah peshuta, which is manifested in the words, die. She'omar, Hashem created the world with an expression called she'omar, Le'olamai die. He told the world. There are many perishim what this means. We once spent the whole day on this. But I'm giving you another perish now, a whole new perish. Hashem, when he created the world, he told his creatures, you should always be satisfied with what you have in this world. Don't look over your shoulder. He has better. He has more parnasa, better children. He has more success in Shidduchim. Die. She'omar le'olamai. I'm creating a world. Live with an attitude. Die. It's enough. Whatever I have is more than I deserve. I'm satisfied with what you give me, Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu comes, he represents Klal Yisrael, and the first thing he says to Hashem is, "Nu, where are we going? What do we get out of this? Going to Har Sinai, going to Eretz Yisrael? Die just to be freed from slavery? That's it? That's all you're going to give us? You're going to make us to the Am HaNivcha? That's it? What else do you have in store for us? Die? It's not enough. Just what's on the... We want more. We want the big picture. We want Ek Asher. It says, Shalach na biatishlach. Go send the Goyal Acharoin. They want Mashiach. Yeah. They don't want just me. They want Mashiach.
You don't move from someplace unless you move to someplace.
Right. It's not enough that we're going to be free from slavery and daven to you and serve you in the Midbar. We have big hasagas here. They want Shlach Nabi Atishlach, Elio Hanavi. We want utopia. We want everything. Hashem says, Chaval. I created the world with dai. So Omar lo'elamoy dai. And now look what I got here. I got here, Klal Yisrael, they don't want dai. They want the world. They want everything. And their leader, unfortunately, has been influenced by their needs. And he's also complaining to me. He wants the Yud Kei Vav, he wants the big picture. V'hoya Hashem le'melech al kol ha'aretz. They want Gresa Gedulis. This is a very big Avera. It's a Gefer Lech Avera, to live a life where it's never enough. It's never enough. The whole Yitzias Mitzrayim, to some degree, was a chet. Our attitude, the whole attitude of Yitzias Mitzrayim was sinful. And Hashem said explicitly it's sinful. V'erel Avraham Yitzchak v'el Yaakov b'kel shakai u'shmi Hashem lo nodati lohem. Rashi says, chaval al da'ovdin. Look what I got on my hands now. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were wonderful people. They accomplished, they lived with the ideals that I put into this world. Sh'omar l'lamai dai. Chaval. Now I have a Moshe Rabbeinu who's leading a klal Yisrael, who's not satisfied with dai. They want the Yud Kei Vav Kei. They want V'hoya Hashem l'melech ha'kol ha'aretz. They want Shlach l'bi atishlach. They want Ek Asher. They want the Asher Ek. They want the big deal. They want Eretz Yisrael. They want the Matan Torah. What happened to dai? The Nela, that's what we're trying to do. That's the chait. The chait was, the whole Yitzias Mitzrayim was, it wasn't enough. It was chaval al diavdin. It was Ushmi Hashem. Why did it have to be with the attitude of Ushmi Hashem? That is why we sing over and over in the Haggadah, Dayenu, Dayenu, Dayenu. It's Ki'ilu, it's Yom Kippur. You can clap al chait. Every time you say Dayenu, you can clap on your chest. It's like you're saying al chait. Avraham Mikel Shakai. You're right. Dayenu, Dayenu, Dayenu. And now the sum of all the Dayenus is for what purpose? Lechaper al kol avoino seinu. What is the avoino seinu? That we didn't say die in Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, we said we want Yud Kei Vav Kei. The first Rashi in Parshas Vayera. Okay, next Vart. We're running out of time. I have to say one. Let me say at least one more Vart before you conclude. This is a heavy Vart. One more Vart before we conclude. I'm going to try to keep it very short. Tzofan. What is the Parshat Pshat? We come Yachatz. You take the matzah, you break it in two parts, and what do you do with it? You put it away for later. You hide it, the children, they take it away, and then they bring it out later on. What is Tzofan all about? So if you look in almost any Haggadah, simple pshat. Tzofan alludes to Yimoy Samashiach. We have matzah now. We have the matzah that Hashem took us out of Kibbutz Pazon Yotzos and the Eretz Mitzrayim. We put away for later on is the Afikoyimin. The Afikoyimin represents the Korban Pesach. The time will come when we once again will offer a Korban Pesach. It's going to happen one day. The day will come, will be another Korban Pesach. Tzofan means hidden away. Yimoy Samashiach, when we eat it, we then go into Yimoy Samashiach. Wow. It's all, you know, it's all heavy duty times of Mashiach. That's the Pashup Shad and Tzofan. I want to try to suggest to you, it's Mamish Pumfaket. We put away the matzah later on. This is a little bit, Chiddush HaSefer thing is, it's alluding that just like in Mitzrayim, there was hardship, there was lechem oni hol lachma anya. The ultimate geul is not going to come unless we nochamol go through a kor habarzel, and we go through golus. There's the lechem oni of Mitzrayim, which was the template, which was the kor habarzel to prepare us for the geula. But this is all a dugma. Because it has to be the Dal Malchias, Bavel, Paros Hamadai, Yavon, Edoim. And in those four Malchias, Nochamo, there's going to be another Holach Ma'anya, another bread of slavery. And in fact, that bread of slavery is bigger. It's the bigger piece. The difficulties that Klal Yisrael have endured throughout the Golos, after the whole Yitzias Mitzrayim, is even greater than the little piece of bread that we keep on the table with us. We suffered in Mitzrayim slavery, which is symbolized in the broken piece of bread on the table. Guess what? There's even a bigger piece of slavery bread that's put away for later on. Because when this whole story is over, after we leave Mitzrayim with all the great miracles, guess what? It ain't over yet. There's going to be a Bavel. There's going to be a Madai, a Paras. There's going to be a Yavan. And today we're suffering with Edom. And the pain, the slave labor, the Shibud, is even more than what happened before. Now, how can you say such a thing? And then after you eat the matzah, oh, then there's going to be a geula. The geula is going to be the recital of a dishmas leads into Hallel, Yemos Hamashiach. So the average person assumes that when you put away the matzah by tzofayim, when you're eating the matzah, you're already in the times of Mashiach. And now when you're eating the matzah, you're eating chirus, you're eating Karban Pesach, and then you sing the Karban Pesach. That's the Pashup Shat. And I say, Pum Fakert. There's a cycle. And the cycle is going to repeat itself. And in fact, when the cycle repeats itself, it's going to be even worse. Rahman al-Tzalah. And we know, and unfortunately, in hindsight, we know it was worse. And what are you talking about? What happened in history, in Jewish history, is far worse, it appears, than what happened in Egypt. Okay, I don't think there's any room to budge. Mimela, the bread that you put away for later on, that lechem is lechem oini. It's just like the lechem on the way to Mitzrayim. Slave bread, tsar. There's going to be another cycle of tsar, which will lead into Yemos HaMashiach. How do you know this is correct? So here's the raya. The raya is when Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, it says in the Pasuk, it says, Hashem will do a mishpatim be'elohei Mitzrayim. Hashem will obliterate all of the isles of Egypt. Makas b'choros, all the isles collapsed. There were no isles left over. All the makas, the Yor, they leave Egypt and they travel. And then Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to go backwards and I want you to stand near Baal Tzofon. Okay, what's the exact pasuk? The pasuk says, Nevuchim heim ba'aretz. What does it say? It says. But what does it say? It says that they would travel. Then Hashem says to Moshe, I want you to go stand right near Baal Tzofon. Before Hashem asks, Baal Tzofon, didn't Hashem already obliterate all of the idols of Egypt? Baal Tzofon nichotah. They stood by Hashem, told him, go back to Baal Tzofon. So the Sfas Emes, this is a Sfas Emes, it's based on a Mechilta, and he says an incredible Chiddush, that after all of the Nisyonis of leaving Mitzrayim, there's going to be another Nisyon. When you think it's all over, the cycle is going to start all over again. And the Mechilta actually says that when Paro heard that the Jews were encamped by Baal Tzofon, he said, oh, my original plan, Kol Habein Hayiloid Hayoira Tashlihu, was correct. I thought all of the gods were obliterated, so if I was wrong, I see this one god. He's not an Egyptian god. Baal was not an Egyptian god.
It was the universe.
It was a different god. It was from Canaan. It was a different god. It wasn't the Egyptian god. It was only a scholar in residence in Egypt. It wasn't
Baal,
Baal,
I think, was a more universal.
There are many opinions. It's a very complicated god. Who was Baal? In the Tanakh, there are many opinions.
There were different forms of Baal.
Baal is a very Baal complicated. Fire. Different opinions. Right. There are different types of Baal. It's called the Baal Tzofon. So the Sfasen, why is it called Tzofon? Tzofon. Tzofon means hidden away. Maise Ovoi Simin Labonim. Just like in this episode, they left Egypt. All of the gods of Egypt, v'chol Elohei Mitzrayim, Eses Shafa, they're all dead, and they left Egypt, and now they're coming up against another god, another Avodah Zarah. And now they have a Nisayon, they're right there by the Avodah Zarah, Klal Yisrael is suffering with that Avodah Zarah. And the Mechilta says that this Avodah Zarah that they're suffering now is exactly the same approach as how it all started in Egypt. Pyrrhus says, look at that. It all started here when I said, and I always wondered, maybe I was wrong. Now I see that my original, from the very beginning, from day one, I was right. And Baal Tzofon, whatever all this means, is in my camp. The cycle continues. We left Egypt. Egypt is gone. They're obliterated. Miracles and miracles. And now we come up. We're now against Baal Tzofon, a new Avodah Zarah. And Paris says, oh, The cycle continues. Let's start all over again from the very beginning. The very beginning. Oh, when this whole thing started, I thought I was wrong. Because but now that I see that by Baal, my original Kavana is correct. We can start the cycle all over again. And then what happens? They chase after us. We overcome that Avodah Zarah as well. And then this Kriyas Yamsuf to the ultimate Geula, we come into Eretz Yisrael. This is a dogma for history. The Seder is really over when you get to Matzah. Pesach, Matzah, the Seder is over. You finished. You drank two cups of wine, and you went through the whole Haggadah, and you ate the Matzah, you ate the Maror, and you ate the Karam Pesach, we're done. We are done. What are you doing now, eating another piece of Matzah? You think you're done? You're done with Mitzrayim. But when they came out of Mitzrayim, they had to contend with Baal Tzofain. You got to contend with Tzofain, the Baal of Tzofain. There's another Avodah Zarah, the Baal of Tzofain, who you have to contend with, and Paro, the cycle is going to continue. And you'll use what happened here in Egypt as a template, as a tool to know how to deal with the next cycle. And guess what? You'll overcome it. You will succeed. And then when you succeed dealing with the Afikoimen, the slave labor and the tsar and the pain that lies in the Afikoimen, then you'll be zoiche to sing Hallel. The ultimate Hallel, the Hallel HaGodol of Yimos HaMashiach. And what's the proof to this idea? I want to just tie with this very quickly. And the keynote in Tisha B'Av. I never knew this until very recently. Incredible. There's a kina called Kina Chavches. Kina Chavches describes the history of the world. It goes through, it's the most amazing kina. We're not doing it now, it's not Tisha B'Av. We're not going, but the very end of the kina, I never ever understood. You go through all the whole history of the world, starting with Mitzrayim, all the way Mamish, it's talking, Rabbi Loza HaKalir is Mamish talking to the 21st century. What he says at the very, very end of the kina, he goes through the entire timeline of history, and the last line makes absolutely no sense. No sense until we learn this. Okay, kina chavches, he talks about rabbis and chos, I always say rabbis and chosi, that's almost like, he talks about mamash the Holocaust, Then it talks about the umos olam, the United Nations. Then it talks about Yishmoel. Yishmoel tikvaschem eifo mamash golos Yishmoel is explicit. Tikvaschem eifo malachem po. What are you doing in Eretz Yisrael? Who says that to us today? I can't go through it now. It goes through the whole timeline of history. Chorapov eino lirpo. This is the lit. And then it says something very strange. It says, Tishuvoseichem nishara Moal, your answers to all of our questions are nonsense. Honuni oivdei haboal. Those who worship the Baal, they taunt us. Ad yashkoif mi moal morid shol until tchias hameisim. We went through the whole timeline of history, starting with Yitzias Mitzrayim, with Sancheriv, I mean, it goes everything. And then we go to Baal. Who's Baal? You know of an Avodah Zarah today called Baal? There's no idolatry today. There's here at the end of history something called Baal on Tisha B'Av. And at the Seder, there's something called Tzofin. When you finish the Haggadah, and you bet, and you finish the Haggadah, what's the last thing you do before you bench? Tzofin. When you go through history on Tisha B'Av and Pesach are two halves in one part. The same night of Pesach, day of the week, is the day of the week. Is the day of the week of Tisha B'Av. They're two halves. The Medrash, Bitzeisi Mitzrayim, Bitzeisi Yerushalayim. It's a Medrash. It's a Midrashim that equate the two together. On Pesach, when they left Egypt, Hashem says, "Very good, you left Egypt. Very good. I want you now to go and stand right near Baal Tzofin." We take the Baal Tzofin, the Baal is here in Tisha B'Av, and the Tzofin is at the Seder. The Baal represents the Nisyonos, the pain, The Avodah Zarah, the ideology of the goyim, was trying to kill us. Tzofin represents we prevail. The success in overcoming this nisayon. We eat the matzah. We eat the matzah. Be'aseva. Holach ma'anya. You break. There's no aseva. It's a chorben. But the part you put away and you eat. Eat the aseva. But it's the same nisayon. It's the same. Now that the Seder is over, we have the tools of how to deal with the Nisayon. When we go through the bitterness of Golos, we do Be'aseva. Because we have the tools. We are trained. We know what to do. I want you to stand opposite Baal Tzofoin. On Tisha B'Av, we're in Golos. We focus on the Baal. Teshuvah Seichem. This is the last line of Jewish history. Kina Chavches. The last line of the Dalai Malchios is Teshuvah Seichem. Nisharamol Honuni Oivdei HaBoal. On Pesach, its counterpart, we focus on Tzofin. Baal Tzofin. Tisha B'Av is the Tzar, the Nisayon. Pesach is the success. But the two go together. And it teaches us there are cycles. Mitzrayim was the template, but we've gained the experience, the tools, the methods, the ability to be oimed in this Nisayon to prevail in the Golus that we find ourselves in today. Rabbi Yisrael, Shavi Zoychet, Le'echol min ha-Pesachim, min ha-Zvachim, min ha-Zvachim, min ha-Pesachim, we should all be Zoychet to witness the coming of Mashiach very soon. Have a Chag, Kosher, V'Sameach, the Yom Tov should bring you Beracha vehatzlacha in all of your inyanim with good health and the hoira ma'alia bekerev kol Yisrael. Amen. Amen. Amen.